Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag. Bring.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, tonight is the sister's night, of course. Today is Wednesday. So we are in the year of wellness, meaning we're covering different topics that, of course, that plague the sisters, not just about the sisters, but also the brothers. And we're in the process of doing a lot of healing on so many levels, on the spiritual level we speak of, on a police harassment level. We're not trying to heal from that, but we're trying to understand how we're going to handle it. So we can heal on the inside, but no, we don't make excuses for police brutality. We're not going to tolerate it, you know, within our communities. We have to end that. We have to end the oppression. So we're talking along the lines of tribal healing upon sisterhood, because we have to create an environment for sisterhood where we're not, continuing on the Willie Lynch syndrome. We have to kill that. And we're trying to, of course, do our platform of the 10-point program, and we're trying to do education to educate our people, and especially our sisters, on health conditions, so we can embody and take care of our brothers, and we can take care of our children, because our children are the first teachers, you know, from the womb on to the tomb. We are the mothers of the civilization, so we're asking for these talk shows, of course, that, you know, we're running the series of trying to create wellness within our own community. So, without further ado, we do have a sister who I became fond of, just a lot of her relationship talks. And again, this is wellness. We don't want to escape out of black homes and black cultures, our African cultures within our home. We have to really raise the bar on this. We have to go back to that 70s love where the whole community embraced the child, where our whole community embraced each other. And if it was a problem within the household, then the neighbor will come in and help raise our children. And we have to go back to that. And I remember a time in the 70s, because I'm a 70s baby, and I remember a time when my mother and my father, you know, when they would have these wonderful house parties and rent parties for different people, you know, across the, you know, community. And we have to go back to that self-healing thing. That's when actually we gave a damn. So we have to go back to giving a damn. So I'm going to have our sister on here, and she's going to introduce herself, and she's going to tell you about how to empower our relationships after healing. So this topic, of course, is how to have a healthy love relationship after a dysfunctional one. And, of course, we're no secret to that. Everybody at one point in their life has had a turmoil relationship, whether it was abusive or maybe it was a decent relationship, but you still carry on pain and baggage from previous relationships. So we have to go back to the, you know, the whole empowerment thing. So we're going to bring this sister on, and she's going to introduce herself. 317-710, you're on Black Power Radio. Black Power Queen.
Black Power, peace and love, everyone. This is Sister Lateva. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Queen.
Wonderful.
Well, great. I want to, because this is really your show. Every guest that comes on to Black Power Radio, we basically give them free reign to discuss, because, again, you pretty much are a positive person and positive influences in the things that you're doing in your sister city, which is not too far from where I'm staying at, which is a positive thing. So we want you to kind of give us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Well, tonight's topic, I think, is a worthwhile discussion. Dealing with healthy love coming behind dysfunctional relationships is something most of us, if not all of us, can relate to. I know that it's something that's important to the sisters, and it's definitely something that's important to the brothers as well. I am one of the administrators of a communal living campus here in Indiana. I also am the founder of the Black Woman's Agenda, something we use Facebook to help reach many, many women. Particularly, we're right now in a campaign to reach out to a sisterhood of 1 million Black women strong. We are giving away a study guide entitled The Black Woman's Agenda, in where we're doing just what you're talking about, healing Black women, and doing so collectively. By developing functional, productive, healthy sisterhoods, we are empowering one another to have strong families, because when our sisters are well, we are well. And when the women are well, our people are well. So the focus and concentration of the bulk of my work to be with Black women is critical to the future existence of Black people, especially African-centered Black people. If we don't focus our areas and our, I'm sorry, if we don't focus our efforts in those areas, it's not likely that we will arrive in the future. In addition to working with the Black Woman's Agenda and her living campus, I am an author and a homeschool teacher. That's primarily what I do. I'm a nation builder. So everything that deals with the infrastructure of developing a nation, I have my hands in most of those things.
Okay. That sounds, you're not really beefing yourself up, Queen, because what you're talking about doing is really, really what this community need, what we need within our community, and we're lacking of, because a lot of us don't know how to have healthy relationships. So I guess I have a caller in the chat room, and, well, I shouldn't say a caller, but a listener, a type or a texter. He wants to know, like, more information on, like, how do you have a healthy relationship? He says that he's getting out of an abusive relationship, and he would like to know how, you know, because he thinks, because he knows in his mind that, you know, all women aren't, you know, like his current, I guess, wife or mate was to him, and he realized he made mistakes, but he wants to know, how does he not label her the same way, the new person that's in his life, because he says they're wonderful. But he wants to know, how does he not continue on that, I guess, that bad blood, so to speak?
One of the things that's critical, it's the critical step for a person who's going to have a healthy love after a dysfunctional relationship, and that critical step is to not enter into a new relationship immediately following the bad relationship. A person needs to commit to spending some time rehabilitating themselves, rejuvenating and recovering from the bad relationship. It's no different than healing from any other injury. A heartache, you know, is not just simple disappointment. It's deeper than that, especially if you shared housing together, if you had a family together. That's a critical step, spending that time to yourself. It can take years to destroy a marriage. People don't realize that it can take years to recover from the destruction of that very same marriage. it's no differently than any other injury that you have to recover from. During that time of solitude or self-reflection, which is what it should be, a person needs to take serious stock. They need to do a significant inventory. It's like an in-house audit, and you need to thoroughly examine yourself. And I don't mean just blame yourself for everything, but you need to, with a fine-tooth comb, go through all that baggage that you would ordinarily drag into a new relationship. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting there interviewing for a new relationship, and the dead bodies in the luggage of your old relationship are going to start stinking, because it's just a matter of time before the flowers, the candy, the smiles, and all the sweet name-calling is going to stop. And then the true beasts and demons are going to start seeping out. Old habits, tendencies, comfort zones are going to get pricked. So during that time when you're alone, or you should be alone, and you're not alone because you're lonely, you're alone because, damn it, you got some personal work to do. You need to take care of that. And in that time, you need to do everything necessary to make sure that nothing, that any additional person would not be responsible for and does not deserve to encounter, travels forward with you. None of it. None of it. You can't take any of that forward with you. You have to be honest with yourself. I always tell people those three critical components of a healthy relationship: honesty, commitment, and reasonability. You got to be honest with yourself about what exactly you just experienced. You have to be reasonable with your expectations of yourself. And you have to be committed to actually healing and being completely over your past relationship before you step into a new one. If you're not willing to do those things, you're lacking discipline, and then you're just getting ready to injure the next person in your life because you're still a hurt person. You're going to hurt the next person, and they don't deserve that. And all you've done is insinuated and started a ripple effect.
Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, so the next question, the next person in the chat room wants to know, let's say that they're already in a relationship. They got out of one. They've been out of one for a while now, and they're starting a new relationship. They want to know how to. In the past, of course, it's a brother. Not necessarily. I don't mean to say it like that, but it is a brother that's asking this particular question. He says that he was a cheater before. But he doesn't want to commit, I guess, the same process, you know, that he did before. And he's been out of a relationship for maybe some years. And so he did the whole self-examination, but he still kind of battles with the whole cheating thing. He's been honest, you know, with the woman that he's with now on those terms, but he want to know what within him, you know, makes him feel, you know, I guess, insecure, he's saying.
What makes him feel insecure? I'm not exactly sure what his question is. Is his question, how can he keep from cheating?
Yes.
Don't cheat. Be honest, be committed, and be reasonable. I don't know why the hell men act like cheating is something that's a disease or an infection. It is not a disease or infection. It's a decision. Don't cheat. You know, don't use crack.
Thank you.
Don't drink and drive. Don't cheat when you're in an honest, committed relationship. Now, if women were asking this question, it would sound as preposterous as it sounds when men ask it. Don't do it. I'm not saying. Now, if he's a Christian and he believes as a man thinketh, so is he. If he's doing it just because, well, hell, I've already thought about it now, I might as well. That's another set of circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, if his concern is how can I stop being attracted to other women, you're not going to not be attracted to other women, especially not other black women. Have you seen black women? We are fine women, and we're good women. Naturally, black men are going to be attracted to us. So I guess we could go ahead and say there, sisters, if you have one of them problems, you don't like the fact that your man is attracted to other sisters, stop it. Get over it. You know all it takes for you to walk out the door. You know how fine you get when you want to walk out the door. Every sister on the block is doing the same thing you're doing. He should be attracted to the other sisters. If he's not, then maybe you got another set of circumstances you haven't addressed yet. But the reality is, as far as cheating, that's an easy fix. Don't do it. Period.
That's simple.
But that's not going to help him not be attracted to other women. And it is nothing wrong with your relationship. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with your relationship if your spouse, male or female, is attracted to other people of any sex. That's not, of either sex, that's not a problem. That's not a problem in your relationship. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong, sister. It doesn't mean that you're not fulfilling her needs, brother. It simply means she has a pulse. It simply means he's still alive. So I think you keep your package tight. That's important. You don't let yourself go, and I'm saying that for brothers and sisters. You know, and do the things you did initially. Don't think because you got the job, you keep the job. And that's not how it's going to work.
You got to work for that job, don't you?
I mean, it's still your job. Right. Yeah, I mean, you're fulfilling a task. It's a job. It's not. And I don't mean the relationship is work, because most people who know my work know that I don't believe in that. I don't believe in relationships that are work. Time to quit that job if that's the case. But I'm saying it's a position you are filling. You know, it's a role and a function you fulfill. So if you want to fulfill the position, then actually do the job. If it's not your intent to do the job, quit applying for the position.
Okay. Wow. That was a great answer. I really like that answer. But let me ask you, upon having healthier relationships, what are signs that it's not a healthy relationship? Because I know a lot of our listeners don't realize, because I remember a couple of weeks ago I had this expert on about abuse. So what are signs that may or may not be, that are not healthy?
Well, any signs of abuse are signs that you need in the relationship. It's not compatible. And that could be any kind of abuse. You know, signs of extreme insecurity right off the bat, you know, that's a major problem. Signs of insecurity are usually a problem that you're going to, that's a sign you're going to have a problem very soon, and it's a problem you're going to wish you didn't have. That person needs to work some things out within themselves. Belligerent behavior, belittling behavior, a person who doesn't keep their word, and it can be on the little things, but it's usually going to start with simple stuff of calling or not calling, showing up or not showing up, that type of thing. You're getting ready to face some rocky situations. And the relationship can sometimes just not be a compatible one. Sometimes it's just not a practical one. Relationships aren't always bad just because of abuse. Some people will tell you not to be in a relationship because it's abusive, or will lead you to believe that abuse is the only reason not to be in a relationship. That's more so the way I need to word it. Abuse is not the only reason not to move forward in a relationship. You may not have compatible desired results. You know, if this person has a desired result to have 10 children and you don't desire to have one, that could be a good reason to decide not to move forward in the relationship. And most of the times the problems come in because we've talked ourselves into maintaining or developing a relationship with someone we needed to not try to keep around. We don't like to believe somebody was just a good time, just a lot of fun, just a great date, not a potential spouse. That tends to be our problem. We're trying to make someone fit in a place that they just don't belong. And unless we assess ourselves back to that time of that self-evaluation, that in-house audit, if you don't know where you are in life, what you need out of life, there is no one-size-fits-all. And sometimes in revolutionary movements, people will sell you shit and tell you it's sugar. They'll tell you, you know, the role of the black woman is she needs to get married, have a bunch of babies. That's not true. That is not true. It's a whole lot of sisters have no business being anybody's mama. The role of the brother, he to protect and serve. He going to get out there and make it happen. But you done made 26 children. You can't get out in them streets like them brothers that don't have any. You need to be at home helping. No, you're on diaper detail, dude. That's what you're doing. And so we don't always want to talk about that. But the reality is we have to have a practical application for our lives. It's not just the cookie-cutter motto of what the role is. In the Black Woman's Agenda, we do a series. We're doing a series right now, Queen, What Is Your Role? It's more than just putting that little title on. I mean, that sounds good. That's real cute. It sounds lovely when a black man gets called king. Do you know you can buy a dozen brothers just call them king? They just love it. Love it, love it. But the fact of the matter is there's some responsibility with that. And a relationship can sometimes not be compatible. So, you know, someone not listening when you're talking to them. They don't recall details. They don't remember things that are important to you. And it doesn't have to be the security alarm code. I mean, it could be simple things. It's important to you, but he didn't remember. Even if it didn't involve him, it's important to him, but she didn't bother to remember. That's your life partner? Give me a break. That's not going to happen. You know, a person who says one thing but does something else, their words and actions don't match, that's a problem. That's not a relationship that's going to last long. Someone who says they have standards, but you've been able to violate and compromise every one of them in the first 30 days, you're not going to be happy with that sister or that brother. And a major crisis in black relationships, probably all relationships, I just don't give a damn about the mother relationships, but a major crisis in black relationships is that a lot of times what makes a person feel special is how much the other person will compromise their standards or put up with their shit that they said they wouldn't do. Then suddenly, I'm special. He never lets anyone else talk to him that way, but I can talk to him any way I see fit. I'm special. No, you're not. You're breaking a man. She always says she never let people call her after a certain hour, but I always call her after that hour if she takes my call. Well, guess what? You ain't the only one. So these are things we have to consider. Those are major signs, but sometimes they come so subtly that we easily overlook them.
Wow, that is powerful. We do have a caller that I guess they have a question or comment. We have 803-800. You're on Black Power Radio. Black Power, you're on Black Power Radio. 803-800. Okay, they might have to hold on. I guess they don't have anything else to say. Okay, guess they hung up. Okay, we're going to go from there. Okay, well, so what are some effective ways to really, really, really dig in? I don't want to say digging deep into a relationship, but how do you get to know your mate? Before, I guess, marriage.
Before marriage?
What are some ways? Yes. Yes, before you even jump into the marriage ring. Or
you need to handle it like what it actually is. You need to handle it like exactly what it is. I'm a person, I understand and can appreciate romance as well as any person, but you almost need to back burner the romance component of it. Before you get married, in making the decision that this is someone I want to effectively marry, then you need to start interviewing. You need to get serious. You need to take care of the business end of the relationship and stop tiptoeing around the serious issues. You know, if you're gonna be serious about being a person who's looking to be married, if you want to get married, then you need to date with a purpose. You need to court with a purpose. And you need to stop bullshitting. Quit playing silly games. Especially as not time, as in you're getting older, but we're at war, damn it. We don't have time for this bullshit. If you mean to be married, you need to make some serious decisions about how you're establishing your family. And therefore, you need to handle it like what it is. So get to interviewing. Ask the tough questions. Ask all the questions you think would scare that mate off. The stuff you don't want to talk about. And I mean everything. Everything right up front. There is nothing you should not ask a person that you're thinking about marrying. And I mean nothing. From blood type to have you had a psychological evaluation, HIV test, I mean everything. There's nothing you should not ask that person. You're thinking about making this your life partner. Let me explain to you what that means. That means when the shit hits the fan, you believe this person is going to be competent and confident enough to move forward in just the manner you two decided previously you were going to do. That means if you can't talk, if you can't feed yourself, if you can't move, this person is going to make it happen, and you have no doubt in it. If you only like them because they do everything you say, ask yourself what would happen if you couldn't talk. Now, that's your spouse. If you only like them because they only want to do whatever you want to do and they never think about what it is they should do, yeah, that's your dead weight that you'll be staring at in a few years wondering, how the hell did I get here? Because they will be, they will lack motivation to do anything other than what you say. You say jump, they say how high. But what if you can't say jump? So when the police kick in the door, and the police damn sure gonna kick in the door, they gonna turn and look at you, waiting on an instruction? You have a problem.
A bag handler problem. Because you're dragging them along. Wow, that is powerful. Queen, talk some more. Talk some more about... because, I mean, no, we really need to hear this because... I mean, again, like I stated before, we all have all had, you know, with us being in the movement, we have been sold, you know, a fairy tale, some of us. You know, mm-hmm. This is going to happen, and this is what it's going to be. And sometimes right. in relationships, we get together for the wrong reasons. So these are the things that we really need to discuss upon these segments because it's so, so empowering and so true. And a lot of times we just kind of, in relationships, we don't look at bullshit. You know, we don't realize bullshit when we see it because we are so in love with the word love. And we want to be loved and touched and caressed in our fancies. And the moment that, you know, someone in our life, you know, begins to tell us the truth, we're kind of, I don't love him. You know what I mean? He just told
that's,
the truth.
That brings out a major problem. You need to be able to be honest up front. If you can't tell this person honestly what's going on with you or what's going on with them, then you have no chance of making a relationship really last. And it doesn't matter how your configuration is. It doesn't matter how many spouses you got or any of that. If you can't be honest in the relationship, it is not going to last. That's critical. I know we're running out of time for me. I think we've got another sister coming on as well. But
no, you got 30 more minutes, Queen. You got 30 more
excellent.
Minutes. Don't
one of the things I was going to say is that many times we don't think about what when you get the spouse. So, like, you had a brother who asked something about not being able to carry over his dysfunction or his dissatisfaction with one woman into a relationship with a new woman. We have to, mm-hmm. in that time period of being by ourselves, or the time you should be by yourself, you have to, one of the commitments you have to make is once you get through your healing process, you have to be committed to making a total investment in your new relationship. And you absolutely have to require, a total investment from the other person. If you don't expect and require a total investment, you can forget it. You're not going to be satisfied. To be in a love relationship that's going to last and withstand not just the test of time, but the test of living in this country or living on a planet that has white folks, you have to be willing. You have to be totally willing to trust your life in the hands of this other person. How can you trust your life in the hands of your partner, yet you didn't even expect or require out of them that they make a 100% investment in this relationship? That means you don't have time for the bullshit. You don't have time for the games. You don't have time for, you know, someone insinuating things because it's going to happen. If brothers are working with sisters, either some sister going to try to get slick or he going to try to get slick because he's going to think, you know, I might be able to have my cake and eat it too. Uh-uh. You need to be totally invested. You need to be 100% committed to where you are. Now, that doesn't matter to me whether you have one wife or two. If you've got nine wives or none. But whatever it is you're doing, you need to be totally committed to where you are. And whatever your word is, whatever that agreement is between you and your partner, you need to be committed to keeping it, no matter what. Because you are only as good as your word. And when your word ain't shit, well, what else is there for us to go on? It doesn't matter what your actions say. We already know your word ain't nothing, so your actions are already going to go down the toilet.
That's true. That's true. So touch on. I want you to really touch on different parts of healthy relationships. What is a healthy relationship?
Healthy relationships are definitely open and honest. And by that I mean you have to be willing to consider everything from your spouse's fantasies and desires, personal desires, to life's ambitions, the deepest fears. You have to be willing to address everything. A lot of times we want to deal with surface shit, diet, clothing. That's props and costumery. That's nothing. However, the reality is we have to be prepared to dig deeper into who we are as individuals and definitely as spiritual beings. If this person that you're in a relationship with does not share their spirituality with you, and I don't mean do y'all go to the same church. I'm not talking about that. But I mean if you all don't share the most intimate components of who that person is, then you've still got more relating to do. And they probably just haven't let you in to that arena yet. And if they've not let you into that layer of who they are, you need to keep working. You need to keep relating and communicating and developing intimacies with that partner. Having a person in your life means you are experiencing someone else. You're discovering all the many facets and all the many layers of who they are. So that takes time. That takes time. You should never, there are a lot of people who have polygamous marriages and relationships. You should never find yourself trying to take on an additional spouse and you haven't come to know every crevice of your current spouse. And I don't care if you're taking on an additional husband or additional wife. You just need to really give yourself permission to be committed to taking the time necessary to discover all of who that person is. And if you're not patient and you believe it's more trouble than it's worth, then 9 times out of 10, you're actually the problem in the relationship because you're not interested. You're not willing. You know, it just doesn't mean enough to you. And we don't always like to look at that.
That is true. I have another question in the chat room. I have a person, they want to know, which in a relationship do you put first, your friends or your relationship?
What do you mean, do you put your friends or your relationship first? Are they asking, do you go out with your friends or you go out with your partner first? You got to be totally committed. I'm not sure about that question, but you have to be committed to that relationship. If you're putting your friends before your spouse, then your spouse needs to know you're in a relationship with one of those friends.
Okay, they're explaining more. They're saying that because of some people put their friends first, men and women get mad. Sometimes their relationship first and then their friends get mad and think they're acting funny. Well,
first of all, those aren't your real friends. Misery loves company. And I'm assuming those friends are all single or they wouldn't get upset. They would understand.
Exactly.
And your spouse absolutely has dibs on your time. Period.
Exactly.
Bottom line, there is no, I'm trying to think, who the hell got more rank than your spouse? and I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm the sister that will send your laundry over to your friend's house. don't play with me. What the hell do you eat? Friends think you're fun because they ain't washing your clothes.
Exactly.
Or watching your badass children. And don't trip, my children aren't bad. But I'm just saying, this is what black women really think. As women, we really thinking, who the hell is watching your bad children? Why are you somewhere hanging out with your friends having a good time? Get some free nights and weekends for everybody. Don't your friends have families? That will only become a problem if you're still trying to hang with single friends and you're married.
Exactly.
You're going to have a problem. You're not single. What are you all doing together? What the hell are y'all doing together? Y'all don't have enough in common. Why? If your dudes, if all your dudes' friends are single, that's a problem. And y'all in a committed relationship?
That has to be talked about. That has to be talked about because having.
I mean, that's the reality. If your woman, if you're in a relationship with a woman and all of her friends are single, you're going to have a problem because they're all talking to her about just that silly shit I just heard. Her friends tell me she acted funny. She's not acting funny. She's acting happily committed. He makes her feel better in happier places than you do. That's not rocket science. She's not acting funny. She's acting content, something they have not had in a while. This is ridiculous when we get in these situations. And we have to be mindful that it's not just about our friends and it's not just about our spouse's insecurities. You have to move forward and grow with your friends and recognize when you've outgrown them. You're not in college anymore.
Exactly.
For those who went to college,
or
you're
high
still
school.
Trying to hang out with your college friends. For some people, middle school, how about it?
Right.
And then you have to realize some friendships get a little twisted because people believe that simply because you've been friends since seventh grade, that you have some commitment to them that should outweigh everything. That's a relationship that never matured. You cannot take that to the bank. You cannot carry that through the rest of your life. If that was genuinely your friend, then they should be growing and developing with you. They understand you're going to get married, you're going to have a family, you're going to do things in life. They should not be expecting you to be more committed to them or your partner, then the partner you take on. Naturally, there are people you knew before your partner. But that doesn't mean you owe them an allegiance. If they were really your friend, they would want you to be in a healthy love relationship. Or you're going home alone like they are.
Exactly. And then when they get somebody, see how long they keep you around.
They may not get anybody because they enjoy their surrogate relationship. Some people try to use friendships as surrogate relationships, and that crosses gender lines as well. You'll have brothers and sisters who are friends with each other, and they'll have a platonic relationship that is a friendship, but it is also their surrogate relationship. They'll share things with each other that they don't tell their mates or the people they're dating or their spouses and this and the other. So they share all these secret in-house messaging and conversations and communication, little quirky little behaviors between each other. And their partners or spouses feel left out or feel away as they should because you'll have women that confide in or get that same masculine attention from a brother who is just her friend or a brother who has a female friend and he's getting the same feminine energy from his female friend who really is just his friend. He never slept with her, but he's getting all the same vibes and energy as he would from a woman he was sleeping with. Then he just goes home and uses his woman for the release. But we have to be reasonable and realistic. The fact of the matter is, women have to understand the power of femininity so they can learn to control it. Men have to be honest about the existence of the power of femininity. I talk a lot about, it seems strange, but brothers can smell sisters outside. We're human animals. We're land animals. There's nothing different. The same way you know when dogs are in heat, the male dogs start following female dogs. Sisters who are ovulating in the club, the brothers know this. They're not even consciously aware of the fact that their body realizes she's ovulating. So all those vibrations and all those interactions are still exchanging between one another, whether you ever talk about it or not. So we have to be mindful of that. We have to be mindful of giving certain energy only to certain people.
That's deep. That's deep. A lot of us are not aware about the whole energy process. Talk more about that, though, Queen. I think you need to touch on that. We're also going to have, once you touch on that, we got another call in the chat room that probably has a question for you.
What I mean as far as the energy we give to one another, it is everything from the tone of a woman's voice, to the rhythm of her speech, to the rhythm of her walk. I mean, literally him hearing and memorizing deeply in his brain the rhythm of her footsteps coming down a hall or in another room. A man really can tell the sway of a woman's hips just by listening to her footsteps. Men will say, "Oh, that's just too far. That's just," but it's worth your time to take a look at some natural human behavior studies and analysis, or at least it's something I'm interested in. I could be more of a geek than I realize, but it's worth your time to learn about yourself. It's worth a man and woman's time to learn about Tantra. It's worth your time because it helps you to exist at a more sophisticated level. I say sophisticated rather than, you know, the higher vibration. I'm not trying to take you to Mars or Venus and back. I'm simply saying learn what you're already working with. We haven't even mastered that yet. So many adult women don't know when they're ovulating. It's almost embarrassing. Brothers aren't even sure. Some of the brothers aren't even sure what the hell that means. And not to say the ones who listen aren't intelligent. It's just that we don't pay attention to basic physics when it comes to our anatomy. And we don't often pay attention to what brings about attraction power. Believe it or not, you still have black people in 2011 walk around talking about, is there such thing as love at first sight? It amazes me, but people still wonder that. There isn't such thing as attraction at first sight. But love is something you grow, and you have to be prepared to make the investment of growing it, which means it has to be nurtured. It has to be handled properly. If you're not willing to make that investment, you need to know that about yourself and not try to pretend. And we have to be mindful. Some people want to make withdrawals, but they do not want to make deposits. They want all the benefits of love, so they'll say all the words and go through all the motions, but they're not sincerely making an investment. So I hope that answered your question. I'm willing to take the caller if you are.
Oh, absolutely. We have a call from 215-455-4496. You're on Black Power Radio. Question or comment?
Hi, yes, this is Sister Karima. I was actually calling, listening, but, yes, the comment I have is that I'm really enjoying the conversation and tonight's topic. Very good information, very good information.
Thank you.
Now, I'm looking for you on Blog Talk Radio, right? It's under Black Power Radio, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Just making sure. I think as far as just the way we deal with each other, you know, black men and black women and just human beings in general, we're not poor anything about the spiritual aspect of relationships, and as a result, this is why we have so much craziness going on and so much dysfunctionalism, especially amongst black people. So, I don't think that people even understand. They don't understand how to nurture relationships and what that, like you stated earlier, they don't understand what nurturing is. You know, so it's, and then you have people in relationships where it's all, in some situations, it's always unbalanced where you have one person that wants to do, like, get all the receiving but not willing to give anything. So it's, I think that comes with maturity, too, and the fact that we have to have what you call a rites of passage put into place. That's the only way people are going to, number one, know their role as a woman and his role as a man. And a lot of us don't even know that. We think because we're born as a female or male that automatically, or we reach a certain age, you know, mm-hmm. then that makes us a man and a woman. So if we haven't even begun to understand the meaning of what a man is and a woman is, you know, we're not going to understand how to even begin to nurture any relationship, any love relationship, or know what it's. A lot of people think that tantrism is sex, and it's deeper than sex. So,
exactly.
And that's just all I have to say.
Well,
okay.
I think that's important. I definitely agree and think it's important. for the collective, that we would definitely as a whole be much better off if everyone were on that same page, and if we could just pull everybody in that direction and promote that, that would be great and beneficial to us as a people. For the person who's trying to figure out where they should start and where to go from here, this moment individually, we have to offer some practical applications, something they can do right now. Imbalance exists in relationships to whatever degree, for whatever reasons, in spiritual areas, emotional areas, psychological areas, economically, only when neither partner is doing their job of taking care of the business end of a relationship. What I mean by that is I'm an adult woman. The only way I can exist in an imbalanced relationship that's a one-way relationship is if I didn't take care of the business end of my relationship. If I did not require reciprocal love, that means you need to reciprocate my respect, my love, my attention, my affection, my investment of self, my regard, my participation, my protection. You need to reciprocate that. If you can't reciprocate that, I need to be willing to stop giving. Some of us need, and by us, I don't just mean women, as individuals, we need to be needed. We have to accept the reality, be honest with ourselves. Everybody don't need you. Everybody don't even want you. So just because you have found a sister that you're attracted to, or just because you found a brother you are attracted to, does not mean that brother or sister will be capable of, willing to, or interested in reciprocating what you give. They will gladly receive it. And that might make you feel good because, aw, she liked my gift. Aw, he liked my gift. And by gift, I don't mean something you bought her, something you bought him. But that doesn't mean you got a gift coming. Now, if your requirement is you need a gift coming in return, don't give another gift. Most of us don't have the self-discipline not to do that because we're afraid. She's not going to like me if I do it that way. He's not going to like me if I do it that way. Well, welcome to the generation of sacrifice, sweetie. I mean, look around you. Viable partners aren't everywhere, and I'm not talking about the number of men versus the number of women. I'm talking about viable. That means worth having. I don't care how many numbers, they tell you how many millions of black males there are in this country. 75% of them are not worth having. They're going to tell you how many millions of females there are in this country. 75% of them are not worth even living next door to. That does not mean we do not love our people. Loving our people is one thing. Living with our people is another. I love you will not make me like you. See, I love black people. But y'all know we half time can't stand each other because we know each other so damn well that we take liberties. We take advantage of each other. And this is something we'll do not just because we get comfortable and know each other. We don't even have to know each other and we'll take liberties and take advantage of each other. Every single one of us has been in an environment, in public, at a business, and you know it's the black person at work there going to give you problems more than that white person. And you want to say, why the hell are you playing like this, your shit? Mm-hmm. You want to really ask them that. Because sometimes we will do each other so wrong. So, yeah, we love our people, but that's not going to make you like them. That's not going to make you like every male you come across, not every female you come across, because you're just not going to be compatible. It has nothing to do with your commitment to self. There's somebody right now tripping, Sister Tave ain't pro-black enough. I don't care that you think I ain't pro-black enough. I'm telling your black ass the truth. Quit trying to be with every brother you see because he's single. And every sister that somebody try to set you up with, don't make her good as gold because she dressed the part. So these are things we have to be real about. We have to be real and realistic. Everything's not going to be compatible. So when you start talking about viable, that means worth taking into the future, I don't believe that everybody should get to take their seed forward. I think there's a whole lot of people we got walking around here whose DNA should never make it into the future. Common Negroes. I think they should top the list. I don't give a shit how smart they are. Sellouts. They should never get to put their seed in the future. We could do without a whole lot of them. We don't have that ability. Now, we have the ability. We don't have that discipline necessary, or we don't exercise it often enough to use restraint. It is not necessary to make commitments forward when the situation is not in the best interest of you and the partner, let alone the community at large. Because what's going to happen when y'all shit fall apart, it spills over to the rest of us, because then y'all going to call somebody like me. You're going to call somebody on Black Power Radio talking about, can you help me with my problem? And then I'm up 11, 12 o'clock at night trying to help you with your raggedy-ass problem that you could have prevented if you had just got yourself together before you got in a relationship. Then I got to go back to bed, and I'm disgruntled, or I can't sleep. Ah, chain reaction. So these are things that we have to be reasonable and realistic about. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be committed to what kind of life you want for yourself, and you have to be reasonable. And I do mean be reasonable. That doesn't mean just, well, this is what I want. I mean be reasonable. Are your requirements within reason?
It's like that.
You got
that,
your clipboard.
Clipboard, and you're checking it down. Well, he's single. You know, he has this, he has that. I mean, we got to be reasonable during these days and times because, I mean, I'm not saying for us to settle, but, I mean, you know what you want, you know, and you just have to be reasonable and honest about it, you know what I mean? And if it's just some things you just can't deal with, you just can't deal with.
I think being reasonable is vitally important. I have to say that I recently wrote a note about us taking an oath to poverty. Taking an oath to poverty is not reasonable.
Sure.
I understand this country is in a recession. Our people are in a depression. I understand that. But taking an oath to poverty is not reasonable. It does not prove you are down for your dude because you're willing to live without heat, without water. You can't have feed your children. That's not proving your loyalty. That doesn't prove.
And you have to take five jobs while he sit down. You know, or by
you know,
by
you got to do what you got
to
do.
Right.
I mean, you do what you have to do, and I've seen it. I've seen it up close and personal. Fortunately, I've never had to live it. I've had the pleasure of being loved by real men in my life, and I've never had to exist in a certain condition in my adulthood. But I don't want sisters to hear me when I say be reasonable. I don't want any of you to hear me to say tolerate his bullshit or substandard behavior. I don't want any brother to hear me to say that it is reasonable to expect a woman not to want any of the conveniences of life as a show or proof to you that she's so down for the cause. Because often that will lead into neglect, not just of herself, but also of your children. So I want us to be very careful when we try to do without certain things. I live in an environment that is a communal living environment, so we share the responsibilities of our total lives. You know, we share raising our children together, everything, the resources we need. I mean, there's not a such thing as somebody doesn't have something because we share the responsibility of everything. Well, that being the case, we can't decide that sharing a responsibility means therefore, there are things we're just going to do without because we don't have it. No, that means now you have a larger make-it-happen team. I mean, go get what the hell you need. Don't come with that nonsense about, I don't want that white man's this and I don't want that white man's that. That's a white man lie. I'm going to tell you right there, because you get a good enough injury, you point your ass to a white man hospital, you're going to sit in that white man's heat with that white man electricity. You have to be reasonable. And by that, I'm not telling you don't become self-sufficient because we're trying to get off the grid like everybody else is trying to get off the grid, or like a lot of people are trying to get off the grid. But the reality is you use what you got to get what you want, and you work smarter and not harder. Don't make something harder for yourself because we already have a war we're fighting. Why take on 10 extra jobs by making your life intentionally more difficult? So in building relationships, don't set yourself up for a problem. You have to create unions that will advance you forward, unions that will benefit both parties involved. And if you're not doing that, you're creating a problem for yourself and any children that come from that union.
Okay, Queen. Well, we definitely have another caller, if you're up for it.
that I guess they might have a question or comment. The number is 832-434-7428. You're on Black Power Radio.
This is Sister Nakisha from Houston. I have more of a comment than anything. I was actually going to comment on the relationship piece, but it's very poignant that the sister started to speak about the whole oath of poverty, or what me and my friends like to call the poor righteous teacher syndrome. In regards to if you are in the conscious community, then you have to quote unquote take that oath of poverty. And I do see that in a lot of situations and in relationships that a lot of individuals in conscious relationships feel like that's something that they have to do. And if they do decide that they want, you know, a better house, clothes, a car, you know, things to make them comfortable, that they're selling out. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And one thing that we have to understand is that in as we move forward, in the spirit of Pan-Africanism and Afrocentricity, is that if we want our brothers and sisters to see that we are really making a change and we're doing something that is positive and uplifting, they want to see that they are able to have, you know, the basic necessities. You know, it was a very long time ago, there was a brother and sister in the community, and they were very hard workers, and they were a good family unit, and but, you know, they felt like, you know, they were always, you know, the sister would just dress, you know, shabbily, and the brother would also. And he was like, they were, couldn't understand why, you know, when they went to, you know, talk to people in the community, that people would, like, shun away from them. And I was like, what you have to understand is people, you telling them to come over here and do what I do, but they looking at you like, we trying to live a certain way. And you're not living the way that we live in, so you have a lot of people that will not, you know, follow the way of Pan-Africanism, communal living, and things of that nature, because they think that we a bunch of folks that wrap some cloth around our body and, you know, live off the land and take whatever we can take. So definitely want to thank the sister for touching on that, because that is, I definitely believe in that. When we were in Africa, we were, you know, when we were in Africa, we were about, you know, having, you know, the better things of life and going to the next level and things of that nature. This whole poor righteous teacher thing is definitely a byproduct of the whole enslavement process. It's like you will have your rewards in heaven in the by and by. So we have to get away from that. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, sister, for your comment. We really appreciate that.
Some parts of that, that oath to poverty. Now, I'm going to just tell you, because sometimes I'm lazy, I will wrap some cloth around me. So, for those who know me, sometimes it's like that. But I'm usually at home, so I'm minding my own business. But the fact of the matter is that oath to poverty, a lot of it just comes out of us not being willing to make our sons into men. And that's holds true for our adult males as well. We don't always want to do what's necessary to make them men, because when you look at black men right out of slavery, if you look at black men in slavery, black men in physical slavery had more pride and integrity for their manhood than men do today. I know that hurt one of them thin-skinned Negroes' feelings. I hope he calls me, because I am in the mood to cuss. But the fact
Go
of
ahead,
the matter
quick,
is,
break it down.
The fact of the matter is, during slavery, a black man felt like his manhood was measured by his ability to work enough, not just to earn his own freedom, but the freedom of his family. He didn't earn his freedom and get ghosts. He did not earn his freedom and get in the wind. Holla at y'all later. You would find that there were many black men who would earn their freedom and still lived on a plantation, because then he trying to work to get his wife or his woman or the children, somebody else free. Today, that's not the case, because you can always do something that's more along the lines of a slacker. Black women have to recognize that it is our job. We are the gatekeepers to our brother's manhood.
when we make shit easier for them, when you tell him he can keep sweating on you even though he can't feed you, you just weaken him. Brother, that sister don't love you. She wants you to be a weak-ass man like a pet. She going to treat you like a little pet. You can't do shit. You don't call no shots. Everything that you running, you only run because she let you. And when she no longer in the mood for you, she going to pull your little manhood card just like that, like a little time card. Mm-hmm. Time's up. That's not manhood. I'm going to let him hold my money because he don't make money. Why? But you got black women to do that. And if some of them girls play like, I don't know where they do that at, most of them is doing that. You got a lot of brothers walking around holding their women's money like it's their money. You got a lot of sisters don't call the shots about her own shit. I mean, that's really the way it is, trying to make them feel like. You'll have sisters, and I'm just in case any brothers don't know that this is true, I guess I'm kind of exposing some of the sister business, but they should have been hip to this one. It's a lot of sisters who will say, well, we know what they ain't really running stuff. We just make them feel that way. Then why the hell are you making them feel like it? Why? Why are you making them feel like this gets the job done? Because all you do is you send them in there to do a task that they can't do because you didn't prepare them for the task. We have to make our men into men and out of boys. If we don't allow them to earn their manhood, then how do you expect them to actually be able to hold up under fire? And for the brothers who really don't like when I talk like that, because most brothers do not like to have conversations with me. They don't like the way I talk to them. I understand that. I only think if you cannot withstand a conversation with your sister who does love and value you, does desire for you to be a real black man, because I love real black men, how the hell are you going to help me out with an open enemy who's trying to kill me? If you can't withstand my mouth, you sure the hell can't withstand this white man. If you can't take a stand, please take a seat. I have no time for that. That is the reality. So if we're not willing to make our boys into men, if we're not willing to stop stroking these you-to-God egos, then we're not doing anything but setting ourselves up for failure and making our jobs harder as women. But we don't have to do that. Our brothers want to be loved by us. They want to love us. Black men, real black men, love well-developed black women. And well-developed black women require things of their men because they are real men. It's not expecting too much. It is not expecting too much to make sure you have safe, secure, stable housing. That's not too much. That means if we have to move out of this area into another area, make it happen, Captain. That means if you got to work a second job, make it happen, Captain. Get down like you live. Because I guarantee you, some of these same common Negroes, when they want another patch on their fatigue, oh, they get that. Oh, y'all think because we're not talking about them street hood brothers, because we're talking about so-called revolutionary brothers, they don't do that same bullshit. You think if he wants them red, black, and green Jordans, oh, he going to do whatever he got to do for that. It's true. The same hustle. It's the same hustle. He's going to do whatever he got to do to get his fatigues right. He's going to do whatever he do to get his next bandana, whatever the hell he needs. He's going to get that next weapon. He's going to get that next this. And you a next damn lie. You better bring some next damn groceries up in this joint or next damn key won't work. And when sisters start talking and functioning like that, you are the problem. But as long as he can keep laying up next to you, relieving himself on you, that's all he's doing, because you're making him feel better from the stress and the strain. Get over that bullshit. He ain't stressing. He is not straining. Leave him home with them children for a few days. Now, brother, stressing. That's some stressing. Children are worse than them collection agencies. They will help you to understand what stress is. If you think that the task of sister being home while you out hanging in your street, that brother is not struggling. He's with his damn friends. They all stand out there debating. Are you out of your mind? Most of y'all got brothers that hang out and debate all damn day. If his ass ain't debating at a vending table, I wish a brother would. Not and live here. It would never happen. It would never happen on my watch. Ooh, brothers here will tell you, that ain't what you want to do, champ. Now, you can leave and be gone all damn day. Ain't near a sister around here going to have a complaint, but you better make goddamn sure you got some resources when you walk back in that door. You better have something other than a smile. You better have something other than that.
And for all them sisters who let brothers leave their house every day and come in there and marry a day without a resource, we are making our brothers weak. We're not making them into men. We're breaking them. We're treating them like pets. And we're not helping them to fulfill the fullest potential of their development. And we got some brothers that's serious warriors. They want to run out here and kill. And we tell them, no. We tell them all the wrong shit. It don't make me feel bad when I see the police stations getting shot up. It make me feel bad when I see 9 cars beating a brother down and all these common Negroes standing around, them the same ones that's smacking on their women. That's the stuff that makes me feel bad. I wouldn't feel bad about a brother going to jail and leaving his woman at home if he done so for a reason. These Negroes are going to jail over tennis shoes. That's the shit that makes me feel bad because I'm trying to figure out who the hell was giving him some. Who let him sweat all over her? He shouldn't have never got to do nothing. Hit the shower, homie. That's where he should have been. So we hold the keys to that. When we want these wonderful, loving relationships, I think there are some brothers, if I could mail them a coochie coupon, I would. Colin Ferguson. Somebody should have been taking care of him every damn day. There are some brothers who deserve to be loved by black women, who are doing real black man shit. But you got all these brothers out here who's running their mouth, talking black man jargon, and sisters chasing them. That is not our nature. You got sisters out here trying to play the faithful black woman, revolutionary-minded at home. She don't mind not having anything, but she's miserable and depressed as hell. And she's talking shit and tearing down the nation from the inside out. We have to make these things happen in the right way. We have to coordinate this. So until we really align our values and get our shit together, then we have no business investing in each other. But when we find someone that's a worthwhile investment, a viable individual, we need to look very carefully at it. We collectively. We need to take a collective responsibility and a collective interest in it because it does impact and affect everybody in your community. It impacts them when the marriage takes place. It impacts them if the marriage dissolves. So we have to be very responsible with our relationships. And we have to quit playing. Every time, and I know a lot of people, because I've had people tell me this is so wrong. I don't care that you think this is wrong. Every time you're laying up with somebody, you're not having the highest spiritual vibration. I don't care what you say. You can lie and try and say that's what you was doing. That ain't always the case. Every time you trying to court a brother or court a sister or y'all went on a date, you was not always taking care of the business for the sake of the community. You need to be honest with yourself about what is what. Then when you sort that laundry out, you can know what to keep, what to never do again. So we have to stop being unhappy. We have to stop being miserable. Just like I don't believe in an oath to poverty. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. I have no problem with celibacy. I have a problem with angry people who just are frustrated and dysfunctional. That's a dysfunction. That is a dysfunction. I have a problem with that because then you become a problem to everybody else. We can't relate to you because you've taken an oath to celibacy, but you ain't even handling yourself. It'd be one thing. You're not being celibate. You're just being mean, and you're angry, and you're taking it out on the rest of us, and none of us did anything to you. I have a problem with that. If you could be harmonious in your celibacy, we all celebrate you. We do. But if you just turn into a monster and you're growling at everyone, you're not helping the problem. So these are things we have taken into consideration. I know I've said a lot. That's probably way too much for way too many people. But the fact of the matter is, when we find viable black love, I think we should invest 100% into it. I think when we have the opportunity to discover that love, we should take that opportunity seriously, and we should not play with it. We should handle it with significant care, and we should take care of the business end of it. We need to ask more questions of ourselves. We need to require more out of a potential mate, and we need to not hold other people accountable for things that they did not do. You know, that if it's not something that particular mate did to us, we need to stop letting them pay for things that they didn't do. And we have to be honest with ourselves about that. Sometimes the new wife is paying for what the old wife did.
Yes.
And it's true for brothers, too. Sometimes the new dude is paying for what the old dude did. So we have to be honest with ourselves about that and lay it down. Don't pick it up. Walk forward and move forward into your future happier, more resolved. And when you do, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Now, that place of love, there is nothing like that.
Well, let me ask you a question, because someone in the chat room sent me a private message. They want to know, on terms of when you are building these functional and beautiful black love relationships, what are some exercises in really, really working through with your partner?
Open your mouth and communicate. Talk honestly. Don't wait for the other person to find out or respond. Just be honest with yourself and have dialogue. And if you decide you need to have a conversation about something, you need to ask yourself before you open your mouth to have a conversation about whatever the situation is, and you know it can potentially become a fight. By that I mean argument. You better not put your hands on that sister. And sister, keep your hands off them brothers.
Exactly.
But what I mean by that is, what am I fighting for? If I need to confront a situation, I'm confronting the situation. I'm not confronting my partner. I'm not confronting that brother. I'm not just trying to become confrontational with him or, you know, for brothers with her. I'm not trying to become confrontational just for the sake of becoming confrontational. What am I fighting for? Is there a principle on the other side of this, or I just want to be able to win my way? I just want things to happen my way. That's something we need to determine. And in having dialogue, simply decide there's a rhythm to your household. You should not have hostility in your household. Hostility just should not exist within your household. We have to fight our enemy. We don't want to fight each other. So not taking things personal and dealing from a principled manner. You know, if you have a problem with something your spouse has done, you need to think about it before you open your mouth and try to talk to them about it. Otherwise, you're just going to go strictly from emotion. That doesn't mean there's no place for emotion in that dialogue, because I don't believe that. I think that when you talk to your spouse, give them some tools and resources to go from. Because if a brother has offended a sister, or vice versa, if a sister has offended a brother, they did so because obviously, they don't know it. They don't know that that would be offensive, or in their mind, it ain't offensive to them. That's just offensive to you. So you need to explain, first of all, I'm offended by this. You know, how do you feel about it? I'm pissed about that. Or I really ain't like that. And this is why. Or, you know, that bothered me. And this is why. Don't say, well, that bothered me. And what you want them to do? Guess what you want them to do next? What's the fix? Point out the problem. What is the fix? How can they fix it? Can they fix it? Tell them how. If you're waiting on them to guess the right answer, there's 46 billion wrong answers. I guarantee you there's a good chance they're going to pick another one of those. Give them the answer. If something you do offends me as an adult, as an intelligent person, as a spiritual being, I can say to you, Amira, when you did such and such and so-and-so, that offended me. It hurt my feelings, or it bothered me because fill in the blank. I can tell you exactly why. What I would rather you do in the future, I need you to communicate with me like this. Now, I'm going to tell you that because I value our relationship. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to keep the relationship. But that little behavior right there, I need you to check that. I need you to do whatever you need to do within yourself to fix that so it doesn't become a problem between us. Now, if you repeatedly keep bringing that back to our table, then I know, oh, you don't value the relationship. Do you get what I'm saying? But once I've brought it to your attention, I've now given you an opportunity to correct something so you can now, not in your words, I expect an apology, perhaps, this and the other, but through your actions now, you can show me that you value our relationship too, and we can move forward valuing each other because you're not going to do that anymore. Or at least I'm going to be able to see you putting forth a tremendous effort to keep from doing that, even if it's a habit. You value this sisterhood enough to where, oh, that's right, she's allergic to that. Or, oh, damn, that's right, that offended her.
even if you guys say, oh, I don't mean to offend you, it's just a this. Well, give me some more information. I can see it from a different perspective now. Thanks for communicating that with me. Now we can come to a happy medium. Open your mouth and talk. You need to talk to your spouse every day. People live together and don't talk to each other. We go through routines and live around each other. But we can often live together and not even talk to each other. Talk to your spouse every day. Every day. There should not be a single day that you don't have at least two conversations with your spouse. The top of the morning, the bottom of the night. And I mean really have a talk. Not going over the bills. Not talk about guess who got in trouble at school.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other conversation. I mean just talk to your spouse. Sweetheart, how you feeling? Talk to
her. Sister, I would like to have you to come back on next week as well, because I can't just we can't cover all these things in the limited time that you were given, but I guess we have a couple of more questions for you. One, if you could try to sum it up as quickly as you can, for this person in the chat room, they want to know, and this is a real simple one, how to heal a sister with a broken heart and an unhealthy relationship, now have a kid by him and not helping him take care of the kid.
She's not helping him take care of the child, or she has the child?
I guess she has the child. I guess, unfortunately, it's
not extraordinarily simple. When a sister has a broken heart, that's a very deep wound. It's a deep wound because, and especially if there's children involved, what we have to understand, even if he chooses not to, it is possible for a brother to walk away from a relationship and have a whole new life tomorrow. There's always a sister ready to receive him. He can have a new address and this and the other. For women, especially women who have children from relationships, that responsibility.
Oh, she has a child. Sorry. He just texted me and said she has
right.
a child.
She has a child. It's not so simple for her because she will, from now forward, she's made a lifelong commitment. See, she made a life-altering decision to have children with someone who now is no longer in the picture. They didn't keep their word. For whatever reason, the relationship broke down, and she's disappointed by that. That disappointment is a very fragile thing because it can turn into distrust and it can turn into depression. So she has to really nurture that. That's something she has to work on consistently. And as she's evaluating herself in that relationship, as she is going back over everything that happened, everything that went wrong, she needs to, yes, hold both parties accountable for their contribution to it, but she also needs to not play that self-blame game or total blame on the other person game. So that's a tough position for her to be in. She also needs to be mindful that her child did not come from a lie. At the time when she made the commitment and life-altering decision to have a child, she did so based on the information that was available to her at the time. She now has new information, additional information, and she's had to make different decisions. So this child has to be nurtured into the man or woman she expects that child to be and that she's capable of helping them to be. Part of what that's going to require is she's going to have to seriously invest her time in self-development. She's going to have to invest her time in developing herself to be an example to that child, male or female, because she's going to be the practice run relationship to a male child, and she's going to be the closest thing to the first sign of sisterhood to her female child. So she has to be able to communicate and communicate honestly without bitterness to her daughter, if it's a daughter, and communicate lovingly with expectation to her son without rejection or communicating the way she would like to communicate through anger for the father. So that's a tough spot for her to be in. She could definitely use a sisterhood. Sister Amira, I definitely want to make sure we share. I would invite the sisters to find out more information. I am currently gifting to 1 million black women a free copy of one of my books called The Black Woman's Agenda. They can get that book for free at theblackwomansagenda.com, and we can put it actually in your chat room, theblackwomansagenda.com.
Yeah, do that. If you could do that, that'd be great.
Sure.
also, sisters and brothers, if there's anyone who's interested in any other information about me or books that I've written, I would invite them to check my website, sisterlateva.com. The word sister spelled out, S-I-S-T-E-R, and my first name, Lateva, L-E-T-A-V-A.com. Mm-hmm.
Sister, hang on, though, because I don't want you to just, because
okay.
I know it's going to be some people that have questions, and I know we can probably, hopefully we'll have last few minutes to answer more questions, but I got to bring your sister on, so I definitely know that people want to ask
questions.
Oh, yes,
questions. I'm still
I'm going to go ahead and bring the sister on. So just hold on for 1 second. 267-632, sorry, Queen, you're on Black Power Radio.
Black Power, sister, no problem. I was enjoying the conversation and the information. You know, education is key, so I'm not bothered by the time.
Go ahead, Queen. We want you to talk about your portion of your segment up on police brutality. We need to really discuss that as well.
All right. Black Power and peace to all the queens out there. One thing I did want to say to the sisters is that we have to know our rights. We have to know what the police are allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. And that's in any given situation, whether you're getting pulled over by the police, whether they're trying to come up in your home, whether you're in a courtroom. In any given situation, the key is to know your rights. And in one particular situation I want to build about tonight, well, two actually, is situations where rights were violated. And this common is very common in the Black community. I'm not going to say that all police are the same, because that would be like saying all people are the same. But we do seem to have, in the Black community, a more aggressive mentality when it comes to the police department than we do in the suburbs. And the other day, my father, who is a 67-year-old senior, I always say senior and elder because I want us to get out of saying old man, because that is disrespectful to our elders who have been through the struggle way before we even thought about anything that we're going through today and earned that name elder. And my father was home minding his business. He was home minding his business about two Thursdays ago in a bad snowstorm. And my sister fortunately lives next door to my father because she took the house because my mother is a paraplegic. She's paralyzed. She can't move. She can't walk. She can't talk. She's bedridden, and my father is her caregiver. And my brother now lives with them. And they were shoveling out their cars, minding their business. And being that it was still snowing, my nephew decided to put a mask on his face to keep the snow out of his face while he shoveled. The police came down the street. They happened to see my nephew as a Black male with a mask on and a hood, and they automatically jumped out of their vehicles. Before they even asked him what he was doing, they threw him up against the wagon. And he said, "What's going on?" They said, "You look like a person that was just involved in a robbery. We're going to run a check on you," all this other stuff. Now, just involved in a robbery right there is a red flag, because that means he should have been running down the street. He should have been fleeing to get away. That drew a flag to my sister, so she immediately said, "Look, that's my son. What's going on?" She was told to shut the F up, and very disrespected as a Black woman. She knows her rights, so she said, "No, I'm allowed to ask you, why are you accosting my son?" The police got enraged because she wouldn't shut up and ordered her to go on her porch and be quiet. So my father comes to the door, and he's watching everything going on. Then my brother intervenes by saying, "Look, this is a woman you're talking to, officer. Can you tone it down? What has he done?" So they said, "We think he was involved in a robbery. Just chill out. We're going to run a background check." So they start running my nephew's name. They claim he had a warrant, which end up in the long run being false. But like I said, my father kept getting upset about it and said, "You know, you're wrong. There's other things to do with snowing out here. You have no reason to be, you know, acting the way you did." So they told my father to come off the porch. He said, "No, I don't have to come off my porch. And you can't come on my porch, but I'm allowed to voice my opinion. This is my family." This enraged the officer because my father wouldn't come off the porch. So they proceeded to run onto the property, throwing my father in the snow, face down in pajamas, putting their knees and their feet in their back and with their hands around his neck, which made my sister feel that, okay, his life is at risk because he's an elder. So she told the officer, "Please, you know, this is an older man. He's a stroke victim." They said they didn't give a F. A couple of the officers even pretended to be having a stroke to make fun of my family. And my sister started to get upset. So she touched the officer and said, "Please, he's an elder man. He can't breathe right now." They took my sister by the neck, drug her into her home, put their feet in her back, and started choking her out in front of her children. Her children, one of them is 3 years old. He's screaming. So my niece is trying to tape this because they do remember the things that I told them. You're allowed to tape them doing their job if it's a police brutality incident. They tried to grab her camera. They threatened to lock her up. She's 16 years old. They grabbed the female that's 16, pushed her up against the wall, and told her to get in her house and lock the effing door and shut up. Now they got 16 wagons out here. They're pepper spraying my nephew and locking up my sister and my nephew, and they wouldn't call an ambulance for my father. So, you know, I took a couple Panthers, brothers and sisters over there. By the time we got there, they were gone, so we immediately went to the police station. When we got there, they wouldn't give us any information. They told me that my sister was not in the building and she hadn't arrived yet, or the officers. They made us wait for an hour before they even told me my sister was on the premises. Once we found out she was there, they told me the arresting officer wasn't there, so nothing could be done. She got to sit and wait, and I can go home. But, of course, we didn't leave. We stayed until 8 p.m. at night. This happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 5 hours of sitting still, not allowed to find out anything, not toting one thing about my sister's well-being, how anything. So, you know, we had to keep calm because we didn't want to end up in jail because then we can't help her. It wasn't until the next morning that they told us that she, at 4 o'clock in the morning, she had a $15,000 bill for assault on a police officer. We had to go down to IA, file charges. My sister and my father both went to the hospital. They're both now going back and forth to hospitals, and they're dealing with a lawyer in Trenton named Robin Lord, who is a lawyer who has a really good relationship with the community. She's big on police brutality. She's a Caucasian female, but she said she understands and knows very well that the police are over the top when it comes to the black community. So, I, like I said, is if you don't know your rights, you are going to never think it can't happen to you. You know, we have a habit of thinking, okay, well, what did they do? That's the first thing we say when we see a black person getting locked up. What did they do? It doesn't have to be anything that you've done. It could be what is on his mind at the time. It could be a bad day for the officer. It could just be his MO. So that's one situation in my life that I wanted to share with you. The next one is my son. He's incarcerated. You know, a lot of our young brothers and sisters out here are miseducated. The miseducation of the Negro, we have no idea what it is to try to work for ourselves, a lot of us, so we tend to want to hustle. I'm not going to say that my son is an angel. You know, I'm not going to say that he's the best kept secret. You know, he is a young man who's a product of his environment. I was a young mother. He got into things that he shouldn't have got in, but he's not a murderer. He has never killed anybody. He's never robbed a bank. He might have been out here hustling, but that does not mean why he is incarcerated, that he should be drugged out of his cell, pepper sprayed, stripped of his clothing, beaten and thrown into a cell with no bed, no clothes, no food, no water for over 72 hours with any kind of hospitalization to his wounds. He reached out to me through other people and told me how the cops were treating him in the jail. He reached out to his fiance through letters and told her how they were treating him, which forced me to call the warden, to call the jail. You're allowed to do these things. You're allowed to call the warden at the facility that your family member might be at and ask questions. You're not supposed to think because they're in jail you have no rights. You have total rights to a human being's well-being that's your family member if you feel their life is at stake. So when I called, they gave me the runaround. They told me my son was a blatant liar, all kind of stuff they were saying. So I immediately asked to speak to whoever's in charge. Of course, she was a black woman. When she got on the telephone, she said to me that my son is a liar and that with my attitude, the apple don't fall far from the tree. So I said, sister, I'm just trying to talk to you as a mother. This is my son. I don't expect him to get a bubble bath in jail. I don't expect him to get ice cream and cake. But I do expect for him to be treated as a human being. And she was like, oh, well, whatever. He told you it's a bunch of lies, so therefore he's 30 years old. You would not be able to talk to him, and you just have to wait till he can get visits again, and hung up on me. I called back. She answered the phone again and said, what do you want? I mean, this is for real. This is a true story that I'm dealing with in Northern State Prison. So I said, look, I would like to speak to whoever's in charge. She said, well, he's not here right now, so you just got to talk to me. I said, sis, I understand you're at work. She said, no. This ain't work. This is a career. I said, well, excuse me, if you think that locking down your black brothers and sisters is a career, you're sadly mistaken. Because one day it could be one of your family members, and that's what we cannot forget. Just because someone is incarcerated, don't always write them off. We have political prisoners that are in jail, like Mamia Abdul-Jamal, brothers and sisters who are in prison, who are wrongly accused and doing 30 years, life sentences, you know, headed for the death chamber, like Tukey Williams. So we don't know the whole story on Tukey Williams, but he was assassinated even though he was trying everything in the world everything in the world to turn around his mistakes. So I just want sisters out here who have sons, fathers, family members out here who you know will be racially profiled to go to the library. You can print out police reports. You can print out what they're allowed to do upon arrest. You can print out how far from them that you are allowed to observe them doing their job. You can print out what you are allowed to say and what you are not allowed to say. All that is public record. And once you know your rights, you obtain a lawyer, you can bring a civil suit against the city. And this is some of the things that we need to start doing, going to more of these city council meetings and speaking about, taking notes about, taking badges down about these officers who are treating our family this way, because it is just unacceptable to me. It's very unacceptable because you have people like Jeffrey Dahmer who got a fair trial when they found body parts in this man's refrigerator. And he was never beaten. He was never mistreated during his arrest or anything like that. But you have a brother like my son who is being ridiculed and treated like a dog because he didn't. His whole thing he was being in trouble for, sisters, is because he didn't want to eat cold food. He didn't want to eat cold food. My son voiced his opinion that the tier food trays were brought up at 7 a.m., and they weren't giving it to the brothers on the tiers until like 11 o'clock in the morning, which means the food was cold. Wouldn't nobody want that? And because he spoke out about the food and he kept voicing his opinion for over a week's period, they said he was inside in a riot. So therefore, he was pepper sprayed and beaten to be quiet. That is ridiculous. So as long as we keep a blind eye to those in jail, and we forget about them, and we just want to write them a letter, you have no idea what they're dealing with out here. And these young brothers are coming back to us. And then we want to put them out when they come home and they don't want to get a job. We want to put them in the street when they don't want to come home and do the right thing. How can you come home and do the right thing when you're coming from such conditions? You can't. They're not going to educate them any further in there. They're just going to lock them down and throw away the key. So we, as sisters out here who are mothers, we have to educate our sons on what they're headed for. We have to educate our sons on what to do when arrested, when stopped by the police. We have to educate our daughters, because don't think it can happen to a female. My sister's a victim of it. So this is what I just wanted to bring to your attention tonight, and I want everybody who can, you know, hear my voice, start writing the inmates that you know that are incarcerated as much as you possibly can. I know we don't want to collect calls all the time. They're almost $8 a minute now. But at least if we can write to them, let them see letters coming into these young brothers and sisters so they know that they have family members that care about them. Because the less you write, the less you reach out, the more you forget, the worse they are being treated. And then they're putting back on society, and you wonder why they become repeated offenders. But just imagine yourself as a sister being ripped of your clothes and sold in a cold cast iron cell and not fed, not talked to, not bathing for days at a time. That's like being on a slave ship all over again. And this is the psychological damage that our young brothers and sisters are dealing with and coming back to live with us, and we can't understand. It's like a shock to the body to come back to society after everything you've been through and try to relate to other people. So we have to realize that our job is much bigger than just being in the community. It's also writing these political prisoners, keeping in touch with people who are in jail, who, even if they're not a political prisoner in the New Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam, don't forget about the people who are locked up just on petty crimes. And that's what I've asked of you, you know, you sisters tonight. Just try. If you have a brother in jail, a father, a son, even a neighbor that you grew up with, and you know he has a petty charge and he's doing 10 years, write that brother just once a month. Ask him how he's doing. Ask him how the facility is treating him, because we have every right, being born in this American state, in these American states, to voice our opinion about the jail system. They have sold all the rights to the jail to Bob Barker from The Price is Right. He bought the right for the soaps, the clothes, the shoes. Whether you ladies might not have no knowledge of this, but him and Christy Whitman's husband are running all the commissary. So you cannot even send your son a book. You can't send your man a shirt. You can't send them anything. You can only buy it from the jail, which is, like I said, the people who are getting the profits of it are Christy Whitman's husband and Bob Barker. So it's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous that our sons are being made to feel that they have nothing from the outside that they can do. So the only thing they can do is reach out to you. So like I said, anybody who is interested in being further educated on police brutality or being further educated on your rights as a citizen, you can contact Sister Mira. You can contact any Panther in your community that's well aware of your rights, even if you just want to know, what do I do when I'm pulled over? Because sometimes when you're pulled over, they would tell you to shut up. When you ask them, why are you being pulled over? You have every God-given right to know why that officer is pulling you over, especially if you have license, registration, and insurance. Sometimes they'll tell you, oh, well, I'm spot checking. Oh, well, I thought your sticker was old. They'll give you anything. Brother Sharif in Newark was pulled over the other day, and they ripped the sticker out of his window because it was a couple days old. Tried to, you know, made the man walk in the freezing cold. It's ridiculous. You know, some of it was basically just racial profiling. But it was just an opportunity for them to go over the top with this, you know, with the situation. So I just wanted you sisters to know these things happen in every community. It's not none of us that are going to be excused from it, no matter how well you're wrapped up, no matter how neat you dress, no matter how educated you are not excused from police brutality, and you're just fortunate that you haven't experienced it. You know, I have experienced it as a Panther more than once, but I do, you know, want to just end what I'm saying because I want y'all to have time for answers and questions, but I do want anyone to call these prisons. Call them if you have an inmate in there that's in your family. Ask them all, you know, I'm just calling to see is such and such okay. I haven't heard from him in a couple of days. He's not calling me collect like he used to do. You're allowed to do that. When my son doesn't call me, I call. I haven't heard from my son in 2 weeks. Is he all right? They'll say, oh, yeah, ma'am, he's in a hole. Sorry about that. You know, he can't reach out to you, but you're welcome to write. They have to communicate with you if you call and ask about your people. So on that note, I just want to close out. But like I said, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of them just because they have a badge. You have every right to express yourself if you are 100% right in your education and your knowledge of how they're supposed to do their job. So anyone who has questions, just let me know. But I would like Sister Mira or any other sisters who know me well to call Northern State Prison. My son's name is Rayshawn Bridgeforth. If you call up there, ask him how he's doing, they have to tell you. They have to give you an answer. If you can call for Mamiya Abdul-Jamal anytime you want, you can call the prison and say, I'm just checking on Mamiya. Is he all right? They might tell you, get smart with you, but they have to tell you something. And this is what we're not doing. I mean, even in the hospitals, we had a brother down here who was shot 8 times by a correction officer the other day. He said it was self-defense. How do you shoot somebody 3 times in the head in self-defense? Their body's on the ground after the second shot. You're still emptying the gun. But because he was a correction officer, he was allowed to walk away, go home, and he's scot-free at this moment. It's the second black man that he has shot in less than a year. The other brother, he shot him 5 times, put his eye out, and damn near crippled him for life. He claimed he thought the man was about to attack him. He heard a brick hit his car. He thought it was a gun. And because he's a state correction officer, he's a black male. But like I said, he's still a cop. He shot 2 different individual black men in less than a year. One of them is dead, and he is not bringing up on any charges whatsoever. So we have to stop letting this kind of stuff happen in our community. That young brother had children out here. He had a fiance out here. He was boxing. He was trying to do right for himself. He wasn't selling drugs. He didn't have a weapon. So how do we just let this man get off scot-free? We have to, as a community, start coming together against these kind of issues and stop being afraid because you might have a warrant or you might have an old ticket or you don't want to be harassed. If we don't do anything about it, sisters, it's never, ever going to end. And then you'll be calling on us when it's your turn, when you're in the same situation that the family of this victim who was shot 8 times is in, when you're in the predicament I'm in with my son, when you're in the predicament that my sister is in. Now, don't forget 41 shots. Do not forget Amadou. Do not forget Sean Bell. Do not forget 50 shots. That was police brutality at its biggest and its largest. And these are things and young brothers who we need to be still on fire about. Those brothers that killed Sean Bell, those pigs, they got away scot-free. And we just go on with Christmas and New Year's and like it never happened. But we have to get out of that, sisters, because in order for us to talk about even having a relationship with a black man, we have to know his rights, because sometimes we're his voice. We can't go on and talk about relationships and building families when we are not dealing with the issues that surround our families and our relationships. Some of our brothers come home, may be mad because of what he's dealing with in society every day. So like the sister said, try your best to be on your best behavior. Try your best to be more educated in your knowledge of what the black man is going through in order to be able to deal with him. Because they are racial profiled. They are dealing with police brutality. They are dealing with the lack of being able to get a job. I remember about 10 years ago, a friend of mine named Steve Feliciano was killed by Trenton police on his birthday. On his birthday. No weapon whatsoever. Murdered. Forgot about. There's so many stories I can tell you, but I don't have time. So I love you all. Black Power. Give me a call. You know, I love this. Sister Mira is doing a wonderful job out here. She's a strong black woman who has children, grandchildren, but she takes the time out of her day on a daily basis to make sure that us as sisters have a line of communication going on. So don't just
don't
listen tonight. Listen every chance you can. Listen every chance
don't
you can because this sister has a very, very strong mission on her hands, and I don't want any of us to take it for granted. So Black Power.
Don't hang up, Queen. Right? Don't hang up because we have questions in this. Right now. We got some people in this room. They blowing up. They've got questions for y'all. So hold, stand
okay.
on. All right. Black Power, hold up. We have a caller on 214-735. You're on the air. Black Power.
Black Power,
where's my
comment? Any question or comment? Go ahead. Talk to us. Talk back to us. We listen.
Agree with the sister, whatever the sister saying about police brutality, because with the Black Panthers down here in Dallas chapter, so we're dealing with down here in Dallas too as well.
Okay, so what's going on? What's going on? You want to comment on that? Go ahead.
I'm just saying I agree with everything the sister saying because we had the same problem because I just had the same problem with my nephew. Getting drugs down the street by the police and stuff, so we are working on that down here in Dallas.
Okay.
It's right.
Okay.
And what is the problem that you
huh?
Right, your phone breaking up, brother.
Black Power, I wanted to ask the brother what problem it is that he said he was having.
Here in Dallas?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We're having problems with the police brutalities against black men down here as well, big time. Yeah, I dragged my nephew down the street.
Yeah, what's the problem? Yeah, they drug your nephew down somewhere? Because your phone is breaking up.
Oh, yeah, they drugged him out of his car and stuff, saying that he was speeding. He wasn't speeding. He was going the right speed limit. But we're dealing with racist police brutality down here as well. So the
And when this situation happened, did anybody follow up on it, like get any badges, call the sergeant, do anything besides
some
to
good,
try to address
some,
the issue?
Yes, ma'am. There was some witness out there had got some badges off the officers who was doing that to him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, forced on him, and then they started kicking him and stomping him and everything. So.
Oh, my God.
And he was talking back smart to them, that he wasn't saying nothing to them. He was asking them why they was doing it, like why are they pulling him over. So we are dealing with police brutality all over the world now.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. They constantly feel that you're not supposed. The officer told my sister that she wasn't supposed to say anything. She wasn't supposed to say anything. And this is a problem, because how can you not say anything if somebody's accosting your father?
Exactly. Or your children.
She was speaking out of term. The words he used to her. But you were speaking out of term. That's what the slave master used to say.
Let me give everybody a website that you can go on and download your rights in encountering law enforcement in any terms upon them coming into your house, entering your home, entering your car, and car purchases, that kind of thing. And I also have a manual upon that, but it's ACLU.org, National-Security, Know Your Rights. So I don't think I gave that. I might not have given it the correct information in the chat room, but hopefully you will. I'll send you the manual. You need to know it again?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's let me go back to that. Give me a second, y'all. I lost it. Here it is. It's www.aclu.org/national/security-know-your-own-rights. So basically, you can download that information for free. And I have additional information that I'm going to start spreading across you know, so we can all have that in our community, because that's very, very important. Because I've taught classes on Know Your Rights. So we do that. We should be doing that in every chapter, and not just, you know, New Black Panther Party, but we should have different people to come out and talk to us about how in dealing with the police and what your rights are. And even in prison, now we have someone to mention in prison, the prison complex. Yes, you do have a right. You do have certain rights in prison. But I don't really have that information. I'm not going to even lie about that. But I do know on the outside, but I do know for a fact you do have rights. And it's best to get with the rights, because they give you your rights. You know, if you can go to your social worker, if they're on their job, but they have to legally give you that information, just for those that's in the chat room to know that, to ask that
that's
question.
Right.
But the social worker does have to legally give you that right. So, brother, do you have any questions, any more questions or comment upon that, so I can move on to the next caller? Because I want to make sure we answer your question.
Oh, you got me. Black Power.
Okay, well, brother, Black Power.
Black Power.
Okay, we have another caller on 514-807. Black Power, are you on there?
Hold up, sisters. This is Sister Kentucky. I'm
Hold
calling
up.
From Canada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
And Black Power. And I was wanting to ask Sister Letava a question.
By all means, go for it.
I wanted to get your opinion on building long-distance relationships in the African-centered community, and, you know, not to get all detailed about it, but building a long-distance relationships, and what are your ideas on that, on your, you know, according to what you said about, you know, earlier, and your post, as I read earlier today, about, you know, making an oath to poverty and everything like that, you know, long-distance relationships for, you know, sisters who, you know, for nation-building, you know, in the context of nation-building, and also in the context of, you know, a sister who may be a single mother, you know what I mean, and dealing with the dynamics of building a long-distance relationship that, you know, it's long-distance, you know. you know all the intricacies of that kind of reality. So just wondering what your opinion was on that.
No differently than you buy a car or a house,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You need to inspect. You need some up close and personal inspections.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough just to get the stats. You know, unlike the Carfax.com, you can't get whether or not it's been an accident. And even that, you may know that it hasn't been repaired at the dealership, but you don't know if it's been repaired in somebody's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a large appliance or a big ticket item. This is bigger than that. This is far more significant than that.
Mm-hmm.
Long distance relationships can be developed, but mm-hmm. they develop very slowly. They take time.
Mm-hmm.
They can feel very passionate because the fact that there is distance
mm-hmm.
encourages people to be more open and forward and assertive with their feelings, meaning
mm-hmm.
they'll put their feelings out there a lot more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because there's distance, there's not the weight of responsibility that has to go with those words. So it's one thing for me to tell you something over the phone because I don't have to carry it out. I don't have to make it bond. You
mm-hmm.
understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do and what the other person is going to have to be prepared to do is to set aside some funds and invest in visitations. You guys are going to have to see each other face to face, and you have to remain focused on the child or your children involved. They still have to be the priority. If you don't make them the priority, the long distance person won't make them the priority either.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have to be very specific with this person as to what it is you are expecting and what you're bringing. You know, what it is you're hiring for, basically, what kind of position you have an opening for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for someone to come in and help you co-parent, then you need to not only know about their skills in loving you, you need to know about their parenting skills. Does this person have children? How do they deal with their children? What's the relationship with the child's mother? You know, you want to know all this stuff, and not just from his perspective. You want to
get to the point where you actually spend some time with that child. And I guarantee if you spend time with that child, you eventually are going to encounter that mother and ask her anything you want to know, anything. And if he's offended by that, that's a red flag.
Okay.
That's like applying for a job and not wanting someone to call your references.
I have another question regarding polygamy. What is your opinion on polygamy and how, you know, I know you wrote about it, but considering the fact that sisters in the West have been conditioned to be, you know, I mean, all of us have been conditioned to be extremely individualist and, you know, to embrace you know, European values, or not values, but, you know, European way of life. How do you transfer that type of, you know, what do you suggest, like decolonization, I mean spiritual decolonization and mental decolonization before even considering polygamy? Or what is the context? Because I'm hearing a lot of talk about polygamy in the African-centered community, but I'm saying what is the context upon which we're going to be able to deal with that as a people? How does that transfer into reality?
I'm a firm believer in polygamy. I'm a firm believer in communal relationships, period. I'm not one of those people who thinks it takes a group effort. You know, build the life you need to have.
Okay.
I don't care if nobody else believes in it. If you think it's going to work for you and that's what's best for you, I say completely both feet go for it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if everybody around you tells you it's bullshit, not going to work. I'm a person, I grew up in a polygamous family. My father had three wives. I've lived in a communal family myself. And I don't mean this overall communal campus here. I'm saying I'm the product of, and I'm not a survivor of polygamy. I'm not one of those people on TV. I'm a firm believer in it. I've had healthy relationships and experiences with polygamy from my own personal life, and I believe that it can be beneficial. I also know that we got a lot of people trying to run game out here and just want additional sex partners. But if you're a person who's interested in a polygamous marital arrangement, again, treat it with great care. You know what you bring to the table. You know your worth. What do you need in exchange for your worth? Because I guarantee the other partners involved are going to benefit from you if you're a well-developed woman. And I know you, a black woman with an agenda, so I know you're increasingly well-developed, so you better require something grand. The reality is, you know, don't sell yourself cheap. You're negotiating for your future. Everything you need in your future, you need to start talking about it. You need to start talking about it, expecting it, requiring it. And I'm not opposed to polygamy. I don't think it takes a mass effort or a group effort. I don't think it takes a movement or some television thing. It doesn't require anybody's permission. It doesn't have to be popular or even common. If it works for you, it works. You know, make sure the life you're making works for you. You're not going to live by a manual or a movement. That's a life you have to live with. It's a life you have to be proud of, one you can be happy in, happy, healthy, and whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, I've had good experiences, and of course I've seen the crap of polygamy, but I've seen more crap of monogamy. But that, to me, is more of a farce than anything.
Okay.
Right? I'm biased. I grew up being taught that monogamy didn't work, and then my adulthood showed me that, wow, who knew? They were right. Monogamy doesn't work. So,
okay.
But those are my views. They could be a little biased, but that is my position on it. I say go for it. And I believe you have access to me, so definitely feel free to get in touch with me if you want to talk further about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Queen, thank
you
so much for your comment and your questions. Have a lovely evening. Black Power, Queen. Okay, we got somebody. We got one more caller. We got 7 minutes left, so I want this person to ask a quick question. We have 404-931. You're on Black Power Radio. How can I help you?
Black Power Queen.
How can we help you?
How are you all?
Hi, Black Power.
A question for the sister who has a family going through something. My love goes out to you and your family. Where did the incident occur?
Black Power Queen, it occurred in front of my father and my sister's home in Trenton, New Jersey. We live here in Trenton, and like I said, my sister took residence near my father to be closer to him to help with my mother's care. And they were in front of their own home shoveling their cars out. And the cops came along, locked up whoever they could, pepper sprayed whoever they could, and ended up having to drop the so-called charges that they stopped for and make new ones. And their new charges are police brutality, assault on a police officer, I mean, assault on a police officer, resisting arrest, interfering with an investigation, bogus stuff that has made any sense. How are you investigating something riding down the street? Things that they continue to make up. But one thing I did want to put out there that I didn't put out earlier is if you're ever beaten by the police, mistreated by the police, there's a form that you need to go to City Hall in your community to get, and it's called Notice of Torque. It's Notice of Torque. It's T-O-R-T. It's a form that you fill out, you complete, and you take any lawyer that you pick. Sometimes to me it's better to get a lawyer out of town because most of them work for the police department. You know, you have public defenders out here. But it's called Notice of Torque. And you get that form and you fill it out and you bring charges against the city because they are liable for these police officers. These police officers are city property. They are paid by us. We work to pay taxes for their salary. So you are allowed to complain. You are allowed to voice your opinion on how you were treated. You are allowed to bring them up on charges. You don't have to be afraid to bring them up on charges. And if you feel that the judge that you're dealing with is not properly dissecting the case, you're welcome to ask for a new judge. Exercise your rights wholeheartedly, 100%. And I just wanted to put that out there. Notice of Torque. My email address is Queen for Battle. That's Q-U-E-E-N. Number 4, Battle, B-A-T-T-L-E, at yahoo.com. I want to hear from you, sisters. I mean, if any police brutality going on in your community, I want to address it with you. I want to speak to you about it. I'm the field marshal for the East Regional portion of the New Black Panther Party. My job is to make sure that these fields, these areas that we call filters, our community, these streets are violent-free, not just black-on-black violence, but the violence against the enemy that we know is amongst us, that it has our demise at heart. And we have to address these issues. We have to address them. We cannot keep keeping our head in the sand, keep being in the closet, and not because it's not happening to us. So I just want you sisters to know that. You know, you're welcome to email me at any time. If there's anything, like the brother from Dallas said, going on in your community that is not right and exact, let's bring it to the table like we did the Genesis. Let's bring it to the table like we did Sean Bell and Amadou Diablo. All right? Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Okay, let me see. Do we have anybody else? I don't know. We got 4 more minutes. Wow, this is...
Sister Amira?
Yes, ma'am.
One more question. Whatever happened to those cops that was doing all the brutality? What happened to them? Were they on suspension or under investigation? Whatever happened to them?
Which one?
The thing that...
Hello? Is he breaking up?
If she talked about my sister's family, they're right now they're being brought up on charges from my sister. But we have to wait yet for the state to bring them up on charges. It's supposed to be investigated at this time. So we're just waiting for their report from the prosecutor, but we're definitely not going to drop it.
Much love, Queen. Much love.
Bless out.
Okay. All right. Sister, you got any more questions before we are you good with the questions? Okay. We have one more caller. I think it's 973-885. You're on Black Power Radio. How can I help you?
Peace, Mary, Sister Keisha. I don't have a question. I just wanted to let y'all know y'all did a great job on the show. Black Power with Sister Sheena and other sisters did a great job on the relationship portion.
Black Power.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Queen, we appreciate you calling in. We really appreciate you calling in, Queen. We need you to call in. We're going to interview you coming further in a couple of weeks because we want to know about the anti-violence. Campaign of things that you're doing over in Newark. That's very, very important. So be advised. We will be calling you and reaching out to you. So,
all
Black
right,
Power Queen, we really appreciate all the hard work that you do in your city. We know, of course,
yes,
that
ma'am.
This system is one of the hardest working systems in the organization. One,
absolutely,
really
Black Power.
All right, everybody, I really thank everybody. This can't just end here. We have to continue on with what's going on in our community. It's about healing. It's about self-healing. It's about continuing our struggle that has not ended. You know what I mean? It didn't end in the 60s. It didn't end in the 70s. And damn sure it didn't end in the 80s or the 90s. And so we're faced with another, you know what I mean, the same product in face that our ancestors had to deal with. We're just dealing with it in a different form, but it's the same process. So what that said is, on behalf of the National Central Committee, I want to thank everybody for allowing us to come into your homes and listen to us and showing us some black love. Also, I need to send out some information. To get further information in regards to joining or wanting to support the new Black Panther Party, you have NBPPHQ at yahoo.com. You can reach us at 314-327-5222 or 502-299-8530. Thank you so much, and have a Black Power Day and evening, and live your life as a revolutionary. Sisters, y'all got any last 5-second words?
I just want to say Black Power, and thank you to the Queen that spoke on relationships, and peace to everyone that listened.
Peace and love. Thank you, Sister Amira.
Yes, ma'am. That's it, Queen. You got nothing else to say?
No, I've given out of my information, sisterlateva.com. That's the best way to get in touch with anything I'm doing, so that's that.
And I would like to, one thing I would like to say, that always remember self-defense. Never forget
that.
You sisters, get out here and do your calisthenics exercise. Keep self-defense on your mind. You know, you're always, we're never excused from being a victim, from being a woman out here in this community. So get on your calisthenics, your yoga, whatever it takes, self-meditation, but always be on point.
Right.
I just want to say that. Always be on point.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Black Power, go ahead. Take
Black
this
power.
Show off. All right.
Black Power. Black Power.
Until the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that holds our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, by human bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war.